Ian Trottier here for Discussions of Truth. I am currently in South Florida at the Doral National Golf Course, Trump Doral, and a conference called AmFest. This is the second year that I've personally attended this festival, and I have with me a very important guest. Ruth, would you introduce yourself for listeners, please?
Hi, my name is Ruth Swanson, and I lived in East Turkestan, also called Xinjiang by China, for 5.5 years. I moved there in 2014 and left in January of 2020 with COVID.
Ruth, what took you to China? Why did you go?
I went to China, but basically I was having financial trouble, and I had tried to move down to Miami, and like that didn't work out. So my family lived over there, so they helped me get into a university to study Mandarin there, and I started working there once I got there.
And where are you from originally, Ruth?
I guess originally I'm from Illinois.
Okay. Yeah. And you're based in Florida now?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. My family pretty much all lives in Florida now.
What was your interest in going to school in China?
Well, my thought was I was just going to stay there. And so I went to school there to learn the language so that I would be able to function.
What was the draw that you had to living in China? Why were you drawn to China and the lifestyle, or that particular lifestyle?
Honestly, I didn't want to go.
I did not want to go.
No, my family kind of gave me that option of you can go or like we're not going to help you. So I went.
And you're not going to help you in
like stay here. So I was in a financial situation where I was just kind of stuck. And so my options were go to China and my family will help me out and set me up, or stay here. And
why was your family in China? Were your family in China? Your family had roots in China? Living in China?
Yes. My parents lived there. My brother lived there. And his family started a school there. And I went there and worked with them.
Like an English-speaking,
yes.
English second language school type, yeah. TOEFL. Talk a little bit more about your experience in China. What did you encounter? You left China because you said of the COVID-19 issues. What was life like in China? What was it like living in China?
Well, let me be clear. I lived in East Turkestan, which is an occupied section of China that is where a number of Turkic people groups consider their homeland. So it's not technically China. It's occupied by China. What was it like living in China?
Yeah.
It was it's different. That region. And I struggle even calling it China because it's so different from the rest of China. It's Muslim. It had like Muslim influence, very Central Asian. A lot of the people, it's on the Silk Road. So it had a lot of trade going into Central Asia. A lot of people from Central Asia would go there, buy things, and send it back to their countries. So it was extremely ethnically diverse area. The Uyghur people typically speak multiple languages. And so it was a lot of fun to be there in the beginning. I love their culture. They have a strong music culture, which I love music. And they're known for like their dancing, and they're just really open people, very friendly. And I really loved living there at the beginning.
What was your reasoning for attending the AmFest conference here this weekend?
After leaving China, I got involved in local politics because I was really beginning to get concerned about communist influence in our country, especially after the election, which I believe was stolen. And I think that I became concerned that with the way our country is moving, that that I needed to do something to stop what was happening, what happened in China from happening here.
What happened in China, Ruth?
What I lived through, an ethnic genocide of the Turkic people of East Turkestan.
Describe that. What did you see? What did you see? What did you hear? What did you experience? A military occupation, invasion?
Yes, a military occupation, invasion. Beginning in 2017, they ramped up. And previous to that, they had had small pockets where they would disappear people. I didn't know about that.
Like
at that
people
time.
Would be kidnapped?
Yeah, people. The government
or arrested?
Would kidnap people. Yeah. For no reason. They didn't do anything illegal. They were just terrorizing people to keep them in line.
Did you experience this firsthand or something
no,
you
no,
saw?
No, this is something that I found out after leaving, actually. Like, I was talking with Uyghur people who I have worked with, that this has been happening for decades. They would just, like, wipe out villages.
People would be arrested on what basis? What grounds?
They wouldn't give them any. They wouldn't tell them. They would just take people off the street, just grab them, and people would come up with reasons for it on their own.
What would be a target? Someone's walking down the street. What would they be? What would they try to hide? What was?
In the beginning of 2017 and 2018, the people who they typically targeted were young Uyghur males that they would consider a physical threat.
A physical threat.
Yeah, they wanted
alpha male type looking individual.
Yeah,
would be targeted.
Those were the first people to be targeted. Those were the first people to be targeted. After that, they began targeting old people, women.
And who's they?
The Chinese government. They had special forces that they hired in 2017. They actually have pictures of these on the internet. I call them black police. They're very similar to the police in Hong Kong. Their uniforms are even similar. And their training is also similar. And they would...
They speak English?
No. They don't speak English in Hong Kong either. This is one of the things that the Hong Kongers often complained about because they weren't local. So
they're speaking Mandarin.
Yeah. And so, like, what they did was they had small police buildings that they had set up less than 1 kilometer apart in grid form across all of East Turkestan. And from these basically small police installations, they would grab people off the street and take them in there. And then from there, no one would see them again.
Where would they go, Ruth? Where were they taken?
They were taken to concentration camps after that. We would hear word, the government would often, like, after some time, demand that their family bring them clothes and supplies. So their family would eventually find out where they went. But they couldn't have any contact with them. They couldn't talk with them. And often it would take a long time for them to find out if their family member died.
You're saying this was happening in 2018, is that right, for listeners?
17.
So this is 3-4 years ago?
Yeah.
Is it your...
The U.S. government has done practically nothing about this in that time. We have sanctioned a few officials. That's about the extent of it. And they've passed a bill saying that we won't we won't do trade with people who are the biggest abusers of this, like things like Hikvision and getting cotton out of them. But they have just found loopholes for this. They in fact, I've seen Hikvision cameras in...
Hikvision?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's one of the main cameras that they use for surveillance in East Turkestan.
The Chinese are using.
They have facial recognition software in them, which allows them to know who you are within seconds. And they have retinal scanning. They have managed to be able to tell who you are with a face mask on.
With the face mask on.
With the face mask on with their technology. And Silicon Valley has given them this information. Yeah, they helped develop this for them.
Did you see this firsthand when you were living there?
Yeah.
You saw the technology?
Yeah.
So you, your pupils, your eyes, your face are registered in this system?
Yeah,
this
was I did have to do that, but not with the...
This is how something was...
This is how you were able to move around. Like, you couldn't go places without having your face scanned.
For instance, entering a store?
Typically not stores, although going to a movie theater, yes. Getting into your house. Getting into your neighborhood. It's called a xiaotu in Chinese. It's like in Urumqi, all of the neighborhoods were blocked off by walls, and in order to get into your neighborhood, you had to go through a gate where they scanned your face.
The people that are rounded up, are they still being rounded up, to your knowledge?
Yes. Yeah, they have stopped nothing. In fact, with Joe Biden's administration, they took down the walls hiding the concentration camps.
Say that again, please.
After Joe Biden was put in power, they took down the walls hiding the concentration camps.
Okay, so now the concentration camps
are just open for view.
They're no longer being hidden.
No, they have no reason to hide it because they know we won't do anything about it.
And the prisoners inside the camps, what are they doing?
Dying.
Performing labor?
Yes. They are in slave labor. They produce the cotton that goes into most of the clothing goods that comes out of China. So we are buying this in mass. They produce our shoes, our clothes. They produce our electronic devices.
This is how the American
solar panels.
This is how the Chinese are selling their products at such a cheap rate.
Yeah, exactly.
And the American corporations are buying into this, and it's off of slave labor.
Off of slave labor.
And these people being
kicked
off.
And it's destroying our own economy at the same time.
What is, in your view, Ruth, what is the reasoning that these people, you're saying young alpha male types are being taken, arrested, picked off the street. Is it simply an economic reason? Is it simply a form of slavery?
No,
is there something else going on here?
They took them first because they knew that they would be the first people to buck it.
To rebel against the system.
Yeah. If they left the young males out, they would be the ones to fight back.
So they're being targeted and removed from society. Is this happening in other parts of China, or is this simply...
They have begun doing this in Tibet and Inner Mongolia as well.
Tibet and in Mongolia as
well. Inner Mongolia.
And this is the Chinese...
And of course, Hong Kong.
And this is happening in Hong Kong.
I mean, I'm not saying... I don't know if they have concentration camps in Hong Kong, but definitely the disappearing of people and grabbing people off the street. This is
Say what?
Hong Kongers have been complaining about this for a couple of years now. Like being targeted, like people have been thrown off buildings.
Been thrown off buildings?
Yeah.
Murdered.
by the police.
Yeah. What was your experience living in East Turkestan under the COVID-19? You experienced some of that, right? And you returned to the United States because of that reasoning, or was that
No. I didn't go back. I left. I left there in to go on vacation to Miami, January 14th of 2020. So I had a layover in another city on my way out, and I had to go through immigration in that city. And when they looked at my passport and saw where I lived, they told me, no, you can't leave.
The Chinese government?
The immigration official told me, no, you can't leave. And
under what reasoning? What was the premise?
Because of where I lived, and I knew too much. And
but you're an American citizen. You had the right to leave,
You
right?
have no rights in China.
You don't have any rights.
You have no rights in China. And the U.S. government, I had complained the summer before to the U.S. government, to the FBI, that they had detained a couple of my American citizen friends, and the U.S. government through the FBI told me that the U.S. government would not protect me if I went back, and not to expect anything from them.
So you were detained as you tried to leave.
I was not. They told me no, and then I produced my work permit and some other paperwork, and they said, okay, they have allowed her to stay there, and they let me through. But that was, it was very close.
By the
very,
skin of your teeth.
Very close.
What change have you seen in the United States since leaving, living in China, and now returning? What are you seeing? There's a difference now.
Describe that. For one, I experienced the censorship firsthand and full frontal. I experienced it before conservatives did.
In what way?
Because I was talking about China and discussing what was happening to Uyghurs, I was unable to promote my posts on Twitter.
And what year was this?
2020, early 2020. And I had a very difficult time being able to reach out publicly and be able to generate what other people were easily able to do. And then in, I want to say probably May, it was before the George Floyd mm-hmm. Incident. They hired someone from Twitter, hired someone from Google, who was Chinese, who, the day she was hired, I was locked out of my account.
Okay, Twitter hired someone from Google.
Google, who is Chinese, who has connections to the CCP. And the day she was hired...
How did you know this?
I heard about it from some other people on Twitter. I follow a lot of people who are anti-China. I know her name. I have it on my phone. But yeah... And it was posted lightly, very quietly on news media.
Do you remember this person's name?
Not off the top of my head.
What tweets were being censored? What were you posting?
I want to say my tweets were not censored, but they were kind of... Over time, they had a smaller and smaller reach.
And what was the content of those tweets?
I was critical of China. I shared things from like Project Veritas and Andy Ngo, Jack Posobiec.
Who's Jack Posobiec for listeners? Who is that?
A reporter with OANN. Yes, I know. I posted conservative and anti-China stuff at the same time. So, that was basically most of what I was posting.
Is there a censorship? I mean, there's obviously a genocide, it sounds like, issue in East Turkestan. Were you using social media in China? And did you have these types of issues with that while living in China?
I was afraid to be on Twitter in China. I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't post on it. I did have multiple VPNs, but most of what I did, I tried to connect with people individually who I hoped would get the word out in lieu of me, because I knew that while in China, if they knew that I was the one leaking the information, I would be disappeared.
How does your family respond to your criticism?
Yeah, I don't really want to talk about how my family feels about this.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so you returned to the United States and you're finding the censorship on the American social media platforms. Outside of that, how else are you seeing a difference in the country that you were born into? What else is going on right now?
What I'm noticing is that they are copying Chinese-style censorship. China doesn't... Well, I mean, they do tell you exactly what to say. But their main means of stopping you from being able to say what you want to say is by censoring you on social media and on the internet. That's their number one means of doing it.
It's the number one means of controlling their population.
Of controlling it, yes. It's blocking information from people, making information disappear. I'm seeing this all over the place.
Oh, what do you mean all over the place? What does that mean?
I mean, I saw it in China, and now I'm seeing the exact same thing happening here. And I know a lot of people who can definitely understand this. Most conservatives at this point realize that this is what's happening. That, you know, you post something that is critical of whatever the narrative is, and it just magically, like, it gets knocked off of YouTube, it gets knocked off of Twitter, it gets blocked. These are all Chinese tactics. For censorship.
All tactics to control suppress possible
negative thing that they don't want people to know about.
So you're talking about a threat.
Yes, a threat.
To their control.
And
like the young alpha male that was the first to go end up in the concentration camp.
Mm-hmm. China, I believe, is promoting woke culture because it helps them advance their agenda.
What is woke culture? What do you mean by that?
Woke culture is things like BLM, Antifa, those promoting
civil unrest.
Race theory, and advancing ethnic, I want to say, friction. Because America, for years, has been dealing with our racist past, and I feel like over the decades we have done much better with it. But with the advance of critical race theory, it's actually like made the wound worse. And
reopened a wound that had been healed for healing.
And to me, this looks very Chinese, because the way China deals with their problems is by pointing at you and saying your problem is worse than ours. They're committing ethnic genocide and they're blaming us for racism.
Mm-hmm. Like a mirror.
It's deflection. And that's what they're doing.
You're a corrupt tyrant. But
and so they want us to have a more woke culture. So what they do is they weaponize...
The Chinese want.
Yes. They weaponize our companies that just want to make money in China. And they tell them, you have to promote a woke agenda or you're not going to be in our market.
How do you know this is happening?
I mean, I don't know this is happening, but this is... this seems to be the clearest thing that it most likely is to me.
What are some of the elements in the American society that makes you think that this is happening? Are these athletic symbols that are being endorsed by...
Yeah, with Nike. Nike, most of our banking systems are connected with China. And suddenly somebody says something that China doesn't want out there, and they don't have access to their bank account. Why would a bank act like that? They could be put in jail for something like that. But they're doing it at risk to themselves because it's giving them some sort of benefit. Yet we can't figure out what that is. Why can't we figure out what that is?
What was it like in China? Talk about the banking system that you experienced in China as far as a credit-based... What was that like for you to live in that system?
China has been slowly trying to move away from cash. What they have WeChat money and some other online platforms that allow you to use your phone to pay for things. We are copying the same thing. It's not quite where China is at right now.
They're more advanced in that system?
Yeah. Yeah. Like the society has just like latched onto that, and they've just embraced that wholeheartedly. I was very nervous about this when I was there. I kept everything in cash
coin or paper or
China? Yeah, paper.
You were nervous because?
Because I knew that they could weaponize that, and that if they wanted to and I needed to get out of the country quickly, my money could disappear. If they could control it electronically. And what could you do about it then?
And do you have that same concern now that you've returned to the United States and you've seen similar...
Oh, yes, definitely. I have the same concerns now.
Talk about that.
Yeah, I moved my bank account from Chase recently to a smaller local bank. Because I knew that I'm running for office right now, and I know my platform. Here in Miami-Dade, I'm running for District 26 for House of Representatives, and I knew that my experience with China and the stuff that I'm talking about is going to make me a target. So
locally. It'll make you a target locally, you're saying?
It'll make me a target to China. I mean, think about what I'm speaking about right now. Everything is global. It doesn't matter where you are. Everything is global.
So are the Chinese, in your view, are the Chinese controlling elements of America's life that the average American simply doesn't understand?
Yes, definitely.
Do you think that the American government that conducts their business out of Washington, D.C., do you think that the Chinese are controlling elements of that government?
Very likely through lobbyists and campaign donations. They've managed to be able to buy them off. I think if we did an audit of the campaign finances and the money that they get from kickbacks, that we would find that there is an awful lot of money coming from China to our government officials.
Do you feel that the Chinese have invaded the United States?
Yes, quietly. Yes. They have made an expert manipulation of us where we attack ourselves so that they don't have to.
That's almost like poetry, Ruth. Talk a little more about what you just said.
Yeah.
Expand on that.
I find that people our business and our political elite have chosen that they want China's money more than they want our loyalty, because they know that China's loyalty can get them anything that they want. It can get them money. They can hack our voting systems, and they don't need us anymore.
the American political elite.
Yeah,
don't need the Americans. They need the Chinese.
They need Chinese support, and they've figured out how to get around us so that they don't have to listen to us anymore. And this is one of the main reasons why I decided to run. I mean, I know I have been working very hard on... I've been working with Defend Florida with the audits to get an audit in Florida, make sure that after the election we have paper ballots that we can check to make sure that the machines and the paper ballots match. This is something that I plan to do after this election is over. Because, I mean, honestly, that's why I'm doing this. Like, it's not for me. It's for the people of this county. We need our voice back. People are saying that they don't want to vote anymore because they don't believe it, that their vote will matter. And if we do that, we'll just lose without trying. And we can't lose without trying.
Ruth, you're sitting within a foot and a half of me. You're not masked. I'm not masked. Do you feel that the COVID-19 virus has been manipulated in some way to possibly control the American people?
Oh, extremely, yes. Yeah, I had COVID last summer, so I'm not worried about getting it again. I'm not vaccinated, but I do firmly believe in natural immunity and science, which I just don't believe in Dr. Fauci.
And do you think that it possibly is controlled by the Communist Party of China to implement some type of digital currency on the American people and enslave them into their communist system? Is that too far-fetched to say that? Or?
I would say, I don't know exactly. I do know that China has tried to manipulate Bitcoin, but they told the Chinese people that they weren't allowed to use Bitcoin, and it caused Bitcoin's Bitcoin to crash almost. It dropped significantly. And yes, China does do that quite a bit. I am waiting for a bank hack from China. I've been expecting this for a long time, where they just do one big hack and try to economically cripple us.
There's posts and talk and legislation, I believe, that's being pushed to be passed. I'm not sure if it's been passed, but there's elements of these concentration camps that you have been exposed to, that you've witnessed in China, of happening in the United States, particularly in the state of Washington. Do you send a message to anyone listening to this that the concentration camps that you experienced and that are happening in China, that this could happen in America? Is this a reality that Americans could be facing here in the future?
Oh, for sure. One thing they did to Uyghurs was they started calling them terrorists when they really weren't terrorists. And this is what sent me chills. When they began to call me a terrorist, that's when it just really...
Who called you a terrorist?
I was there on January 6th. Joe Biden called me a terrorist.
To your face?
No, but I mean, anybody who was there at the Capitol building on January 6th has been labeled a terrorist.
Why were you there?
I was there because I didn't believe that Mike Pence was going to certify, was going to do the right thing. So I wanted to be there to yell at him. Essentially, that's why I wanted to be there. And that's
why. Were you armed?
No.
Did you have any intention?
Like, the most armed I was, I looked like a Hong Kong protester. I had a bike helmet. I had a 3M respirator, and I had plastic goggles, and I was ready for anything, and I was definitely ready for what happened. I was at the front of the line, really close to the police, and I was pepper sprayed and gassed over and over. I had a tear gas canister hit my foot. And, you know, I just stayed there I yelled at the police that they were I told them that they were helping a communist revolution of our country.
Ruth, I'm going to share something with you, and I had an interesting experience on Capitol Hill in the month of December, and I'm just going to share this with you because you're bringing up this term. I was attempting to meet with Cruz, Ted Cruz, and I was speaking to his scheduler. Look, the last time I'd been to D.C., I was able to simply sit down and walk into an office, so things had changed quite a bit. And I'm standing actually in December, the month of December, I'm standing on the Hill and I'm trying to think what was happening to America, because I've been doing this show for 5 years. What is happening? And I says, this is a communist invasion. So I concur with your experience. You've seen it on a different angle than I. And as soon as I registered the website, stopcommunism.net, it was taken down by the host, San Francisco-based company, Yola. .com. You've had a different experience with Capitol Hill in the month of January. What alarm can you sound right now to Americans that you haven't already sent? What message can you send to Americans right now that might be receiving your words and having them resonate? And they might be listening right now and thinking, wow, this is correct. What else can you tell them?
I want to say, watch out what is happening with the military and the police. Don't blindly trust just because they're in the military and they're in the police. Like, there are good people and there are bad people. And in each of those things, make sure that you are protecting the good people.
And how do they identify good versus bad in these organizations?
You will know, but what
I... Masked versus unmasked, vaccinated versus unvaccinated, those who support the constitutional rights versus...
Those who support constitutional rights versus those who will advance unconstitutional mandates, yes. I want to say one of the things that China did that almost nobody knows about is they... hit the police first before they began moving in, before they began building the concentration camps, before they started in on the Uyghur people. The police were the very, very first target. And what they did, they overworked them. They forced them to work 24/7 for months. And they drained them physically and they brought down their resistance.
Within the department.
Within the department. And they told them that if they quit, they would go to jail. This led...
How do you know this?
Everyone knew this. Everyone there knew this. They openly talked about this.
People on the street.
This was allowed to be talked about. I mean, maybe not in this many words, but... yes, we did know that they had to work 24/7. This was something they were allowed to talk about.
Ruth, what happened in Nazi Germany sounds like it's happening right now in East Turkestan.
Yes.
There's no doubt in your mind?
No doubt in my mind, but on a even more sadistic scale, because the sexual abuse that's happening to these people that has been reported by people who were in the camps is horrific, even worse than anything I read about the Nazis. And I've read a lot about the Nazis. The sexual abuse that's happened, they have human trafficking. It's unbelievable what they've done to these people. And they've managed to make genocide profitable for themselves by organ harvesting and selling these people's organs. The Nazis didn't think of this. Organ donation at the time of the Nazis was not a thing yet. They didn't know how to do that. But the Chinese have managed to make it profitable to kill people.
Why are the Chinese doing this? Why are they doing this? This sounds like practices from Germany. How is it that the Chinese have adopted this? Why are they doing it? What makes them different from the Germans in that regard?
Time. I'm sure the Nazis would have done the same thing if they had the if they had the if they knew how to do it.
So the wonderful Marla, who is with me, or I was rather with her, in Colorado Springs last week, drive time, she's introduced me to you, and we're sitting down together because of her, and I thank you for your time, Ruth, and you're doing such bold, heroic work. Marla, something had caught your attention about your time with Ruth, and I'd like you to briefly discuss for listeners, why did you want Ruth's message to get out to people? What question might you have for Ruth?
Well, when I heard Ruth talk, when Jack when he was talking, I heard concentration camps, and with me being Jewish, my radar went up, and I didn't realize...
You're Jewish?
Yes. And so I didn't realize she was talking about China, and so I thought it was here, so I brought up Project Shielding.
That's Project Shielding?
Project Shielding. It's on the CDC website. They call it other things. Well, it's Project Shielding, Green Zone. It's concentration camps that are being built here in America now.
Yeah.
You're aware of this, Ruth?
I have heard about this, yes.
And so it gives me full body chills that people need to be aware of what we're headed down the pike. People need to be forward thinkers and to prepare themselves for this possibility. If we don't conform, they control our money, they control our weapons, they control our health, they control everything. My Square account, I can't even get on an app. I'm already seeing it in my own. Something is brewing.
Something personal.
Yeah. So they track. They know we're not quiet. So Project Shielding, there's videos out there where it's starting. They built Australia. She made it clear to put this COVID patients in these buildings. Mm-hmm. When you're sick, you're going to contain them in a group housing. That's how you get healthy.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
You take people away from their family. We all know when you're sick, you need love and compassion and kindness and chicken soup. Good chicken soup. And proper medication. These people, enslaved, nonstop working, taking their organs. This is what's going to be. That's what we're headed towards, exactly.
So Marla,
in my opinion.
Marla, I asked Ruth this question. I can ask you the question as well. Is the COVID-19 virus being used as a means to manipulate and implement a foreign agenda such as what Ruth experienced in China? Is that being used as a disguise in the United States?
There is nothing that our government elites love to do more than copy China.
You feel
we
that
are
the
China now.
Yeah.
We are in bed with China.
We are in bed with China, and they love copying China because it's China has so much control, and that's exactly what they want.
Big government.
My question to you is, I have a jewelry business. I make cremation jewelry. I work with people in China. And my fear is that I work with people all over the world.
Yeah.
Israel, Australia, England. So it's not just China. But my fear, I have fear of giving business to them. But then I see, please give us 5 stars. They're going to get in trouble if they don't have good reviews. It's supposedly a small business. I cannot talk to them and talk because it's censored. The conversation is even censored. So my question to you is, are all businesses corrupt in China? The jewelry, the people that have their own businesses?
what you have to understand is even small businesses, they have to answer to the government. So they have to follow whatever the government tells them to do. And if that means spy on people, it means yes. If that means do something unethical, that means they don't have a choice.
It's their life.
I mean,
in their hands.
Yeah, they do that or they die. Or even worse, this is the way China acts. They do this, they don't die. One of their family members gets disappeared.
If America falls, we're done. We're the last.
We are the last. I want to say this. Like, you've got to be willing to risk it all. You have to be willing to risk it all and say, I don't care what they're going to do to me. I'm going to stand up until I'm dead. That's the only way we're going to win this.
Mm-hmm. You're very brave. You definitely are a very brave woman. You're very proactive. You can see exactly what will happen. Your next step. You're running.
I'm on my next step. This is probably more like step three at this point, but yeah. I finally said, okay, nobody's going to listen to me unless I run for office, so.
Do you canvas door to door?
Yeah.
Do you share what's happening in China when you go door to door?
Yeah.
Good.
I will talk to anybody.
Thank you for talking to me.
What are some final words, Ruth, and look, you've said it very, very blatantly. For those that listen to this, you've got to be willing to risk it all. You stood with whoever you stood with on your capital grounds, your country's capital, that's your capital, and you stood for what you felt was right. Because you have seen the tyranny on a foreign land now invade your
my own
homeland.
Country. Yeah, I wanted to come back here because, like, I couldn't get people to share what was happening for me. And so I knew that I had to come back and do it myself. Because, like, in America, you have free speech, right?
We're speaking freely at the moment.
Like that's speech. What I thought. You know, I thought I would be able to do more good from here than I could there. But it's like, it just followed me.
So what are some final thoughts here for listeners as we wind down? And we've had a very impactful discussion. What are some final thoughts that you'd like to leave with listeners? Some final comments, please, Ruth. Website, some of that kind of identification stuff, if you choose to share that. But more importantly, what foot do you want listeners to walk away with?
What I want people to walk away with today is just understand that it's really, really important to fight for freedom. That no amount of money, that once you lose your freedom, all the money in the world is worthless. It can be taken away in 2 seconds by the person in power. What good will it do you? If you sell your freedom for money, you'll have neither. And as far as contact information, I don't have a website yet. I just filed. We're going to be doing this week. So just, you know, look me up on DuckDuckGo. Don't Google. Look me up on DuckDuckGo in about a week and I will have a website up.
Are you active on Twitter still?
No. No.
Wow.
They took me down. I am on Telegram. And I have.
And I want to say that this interview is being made possible in large part by pure social TV. Yeah. Pure social TV is a digital format alternative to YouTube. So please go to Pure Social TV. Ruth Swanson, thank you very much.
Thank you.